ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 14, entitled The Forest of Enjoyment, verse number 32. Kaschit Druma Vaidihi Ki Artheshu Griheshu Ramstan Yadha Vanadaha Sudadara Varsalo Vyavayaya Kshanaha. Kaschit? Sometimes. Drumavat? Like trees. As monkeys jump from one tree to another. The conditioned soul transmigrates from one body to another. Ahika artheshu. Simply to bring about better worldly comforts. Griheshu, in houses or bodies. Ramsyan, delighting. One in one body after another. Either in animal life, human life, or demigod life. Yatha, exactly. As Vanadaha, the monkey. Sutadara Vatsalaha, very affectionate to the children and wife. Vevayakshanaha, whose leisure time is spent in sex pleasure. Just as a monkey jumps from one tree to another, the conditioned soul jumps from one body to another. As the monkey is ultimately captured by the hunter and is unable to get out of captivity, the conditioned soul, being captivated by momentary sex pleasure, becomes attached to different types of bodies and is encaged in family life. Family life affords the conditioned soul a festival of momentary sex pleasure, and thus he is completely unable to get out of the material clutches. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 11.9.29, Visheha Khalu Sarvataha Syat. Bodily necessities, eating, sleeping, mating and defending, are all very easily available in any form of life. It is stated here that the vanara, monkey, is very much attracted to sex. Each monkey keeps at least 24 wives and he jumps from one tree to another to capture the female monkeys. Thus, he immediately engages in sexual intercourse. In this way, the monkey's business is to jump from one tree to another and enjoy sex with his wife. The conditioned soul is doing the same thing, transmigrating from one body to another and engaging in sex. He thus completely forgets how to become free from the clutches of material engagement. Sometimes a monkey is captured by a hunter who sells its body to doctors so that its gland can be removed for the benefit of another monkey. All this is going on in the name of economic development and improved sex life. Om Jnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Sva Padantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padakamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha श्रीरूपं साग्रजातं सहगण रघुनाथान्वितं तं सजीवं साद्वैतं सावधूतं परिजन सहितं कृष्ण चैतन्यदेवं श्रीराधा कृष्णपादान् सहगण ललिता श्री विशाखान्वितांश्च हे कृष्ण करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगत्पदे गोपेश गोपिका कांता राधा कांता नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांछकल्पतरुभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पदितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे भूतैर्महाद्भिर्यैमा पुरो विभु निर्माय शेते यदमूष पुरुष भुङ्क्ते गुणान् षोडश षोडशात्मक सौरं कृषीष्ट भगवान् वचांसि मे हरे कृष्णा हियर The same theme is continuing for a few days, few verses. That in itself shows there is something which is very important for us to learn from these verses. The theme of the verse is the sex life and the monkeys. If the whole verses are going on with the same theme, explaining how materialistic humans are like monkeys enjoying the sensual pleasure. In many verses, Jadabharat is explaining this to Maharaj Rahugana. And as we remember, this chapter is a further explanation to the previous chapter where Jadabharat explained the same principles based on different analogies. However, Maharaj Rahugana presented himself as an unintelligent person who cannot really understand the meanings behind these complicated analogies. Thus, Jadabharat explains these points very graphically with simple examples, with sufficient elaboration. Yesterday, I was sitting and I was reading this verse and was thinking what to explain, because the same theme is continuing for many days. How monkeys' sexual affairs are being portrayed as a learning lesson for all of us. I thought, why unrestricted sexual engagement and more generically, affairs of lust in all sense are criticized so heavily in Srimad Bhagavatam. So these are being very heavily criticized in Srimad Bhagavatam. And why is it so? So I started writing down a few points. There are many points that could be spoken. What are the implications of uncontrolled sex life? Or in general, that of lust. We can hear from Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the third chapter itself. Arjuna asks, Adhakkena prayuktoyam pavam charati purushah. Right? Adhakkena prayuktoyam. Why people are engaged in sinful activities? Yes, and he says, Balativa Niyojitaha, Balativa Niyojitaha. That is as somebody is pushing. Somebody is pushing to do sinful activities. In that fashion, people are engaged in sinful activities and Krishna is being questioned. Why? So we can see this question right in Bhagavad Gita. Arjuna asks, after hearing, you know, first chapter, second chapter, towards the end of third chapter, Arjuna asks this question to Sri Krishna. So it is very relevant to understand what are the implications, ramifications of sensual affairs. So it can be generalized as lust. So it is not only illicit sexual affairs, but any material desire which is coming to the platform of lust. I thought, let me present the points based on the same canto itself, because as we know, this canto, fifth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is very strong in presenting these points very graphically. So I refer to Bhagavatam and I found about 10 points. What are the consequences of illicit affairs? There are many, many. It's uncountable, but I just picked 10 of them to discuss for today based on the same canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. First point is that lustful affairs are going to blind our vision. It's going to muffle the vision. We cannot see things as they are when we are afflicted just with the sensual desires. Forget about engaging in those activities, but when the mind is polluted by lustful affairs, we cannot see things as they are. We can refer to fifth canto, fifth chapter, where Bharat Maharaj instructs his 100 sons about this. Rishabdev instructs to his 100 sons. It's interesting, isn't it? Rishabdev instructing 100 sons, and one of them is Bharat Maharaj, who is now speaking in a couple of births' time. So there is a connection we can see. It's the same canto. It's interesting. Bharat Maharaj has already learned all this from his dad, Rishabdev, and now he has gone past two births and he's going to instruct, or he's instructing very graphically to Maharaj Rahugana. We can here see the flow of parampara. So Rishabdev speaks. Very famous verse. Parabhavastavat abodhajato yavarna jitnyasata atmadattvam yavat kriyastavat idam manovai karmatmagam yena sharira bandha. It's a very famous verse. So here I will pick a few points which are very important. I'll read the translation anyway. As long as one does not inquire about the spiritual value of life, one is defeated and subjected to miseries arising from ignorance. But so be it sinful or pious, karma has its resultant actions. If a person is engaged in any kind of karma, his mind is called karmatmaga, colored with fruitive activity. As long as the mind is impure, consciousness is unclear, and as long as one is absorbed in fruitive activity, he has to accept another material body. So here I wanted to point this word karmatmaga. So one's consciousness is unclear when one is engaged in materialistic activities. So even pious activities, Rishabdev is criticizing. What to speak about sinful activities? So he is even criticizing pious activities. Even pious activities or the pious desires, when it is material, can pollute the mind, pollute the consciousness. So what to speak about sinful desires and then engagement in those activities? So that's why I mentioned it can really muffle our vision. We cannot see things as they are. In Shastra there are plenty of examples to this. Ravana, He was afflicted by lust and he kidnapped universal mother, Mother Sita. Think about that. Hiranyakashipu. So many examples who wanted to kill his own son. This is the problem with material desires. One's consciousness is polluted and one cannot see things as they are. Since one cannot see things as they are, one will act in a very sinful fashion. Even here, we can see, even among us, when our consciousness is polluted, one thinks the aim of life is money, big house, big car, this, that. One is consumed by the material desires. So the fulfillment of material desires and lust is like an addiction. First we consume it and then we get consumed by it. So that's how everything, any material desire is like that. First we consume it. It can be drugs, it can be a bigger house. If we are just attached to material things, what happens? We try to consume it and after that we get consumed by it. And then we don't have any choice. We are under the grip. And how everything starts? Because we are blinded. Because our consciousness is afflicted by the lust. And one may say, look, I can get temporary happiness. Right? That's what these verses are telling. Momentary sex pleasure. That is the driving force. And the whole world is doing it. One can experience momentary pleasure. And second, you are not alone. There is company. So what's wrong? This is what one may think. But we understand how one can really go through suffering, as it is mentioned here. One is still under the material clutches. One has to go through again and again. Think about it. Do we need to go to school again? In 10 or 15 years? Who is looking forward for that? Do we have to really go through the diseases and death? We are not really looking forward, but because of momentary pleasure, we forget about the realities. We get blinded. So this is one problem with the material desires and lust and fulfillment of those desires. It is going to really bind us because our vision is covered. Second point is, when we see the material pleasure in front of us, we think that even though there is a lot of hard work to get that, even though there are a lot of suffering attached to it, we think that it's all worth. Because there is a payoff. Right? One has to work hard, one has to go through so much of a problem, but everything is alright, everything is justified, because at least I can enjoy momentary. I know it is momentary, but it doesn't really matter. I still can enjoy. This is another problem, that we are ready to accept suffering because we see that there is a payoff, there is a reward. So one has to be very, very careful. That is, Prabhupada always gives the example of donkey. You know the donkey story, right? Working hard for the washerman. And then what he thinks? If I work hard, I'll get some green grass. That is the first reward. He thinks everywhere grass is there. But he thinks if I work hard morning till evening, I'll get some grass. Then this donkey overhears this conversation between washerman and his daughter, right? You know, he had heard that. But the washerman tells his daughter, look, if you don't listen to me one more time, I'm going to get you married to that donkey. So the donkey is thinking, I'm waiting for that day. So this is how the sex pleasure for the human beings. It doesn't really matter. I will enjoy somehow or other. So in that way, we wrongly think that there is a reward because of for our hard work, there is a reward. And that is certainly a miscalculation. That's why we shouldn't think that our aim of life is working hard. You know, somehow or other I will get 16 rounds done. I have my material goals that I had to fulfill. And in between, I am a devotee, I am initiated, I will chant 16 rounds somehow or other. We shouldn't act in that way. We shouldn't think in that way. Because that is really slowing down our own progress. It's already difficult in this world to live. We have sufficient experience of COVID lockdowns. Many people are suffering with the disease. India, we can see so much of problems. So it's getting worse. It's not getting any better. And so as devotees, we shouldn't think that somehow or other I can get my chanting done. Somehow or other I can listen a little bit. That's it. And I don't need to go deeper. We shouldn't think like that. And more importantly, we shouldn't feel envious of other devotees who may be materially well off. That is another problem. If we are struggling materially, we can even become envious of other devotees who have better material situation. We think, oh, that devotee is very materialistic because he has got a lot of money. We have to be very careful to see the spiritual qualities in devotees. We have to be very careful to see how are they using their wealth or time, how Krishna conscious they are. We shouldn't be very judgmental. So, afflicted by material desires, one can even become judgmental. That is part of it. Because and then one feels, okay, I have the payoff. That is some material enjoyment. Third, fulfillment of material desires can make us hard-hearted and selfish. Oh, this looks really not connected at all, right? How fulfillment of material desires can make us hard-hearted and selfish? Is there any problem there? Yes. When one is absorbed in sense gratification, that is the epitome of selfishness, isn't it? If one is attached to one's own sense gratification, that is epitome of selfishness. Because when one is addicted to that, one cannot care for others, rather one is completely self-absorbed. And as the graphic example says, engagement in this sexual activities, that is considered the epitome of self-absorption, epitome of sense gratification. It is. And that's why one's heart can become very hard, because one is addicted to sense gratification. And so that is really, really bad for our spiritual progress. Not only this kind of sensual things, but any kind of lusty activities, any kind of strong material desires can create the problem. We can see even relatives fighting very hard for a property. Such a common thing. When the selfishness comes, we have grown up with that, seen the family members fighting for property and inheritance. And then there is no question of relationship, there is no question of father or mother or anything. See, when the lust comes for the property, everything else is forgotten. One is captured by that and one has become so selfish. And one doesn't even mind to get the property or get the inheritance and ditch the parents in old age home. It happens. It's a common thing. I've seen so many times in India. They want the property and they are ready to ditch their family. So this is such a selfishness because of material desires and the activities to fulfill them. So one has to be very careful. So Bhagavatam says, 5.8, Janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Where is it starting from? Pumsa striya maidhini bhava medat. What happens? When Pumsa, Striya, Maidini, Bhava, when it happens, that is, when Pumsa and Striya, man and woman, come together, what happened? Tayor mido hridaya granthirahur. That's first what happens? Then there is a hridaya granthi, there is a knot that's been formed. Man and woman didn't know each other, probably lifetimes. Now come together, and then there is a knot. And from there, everything starts. Adho? Gudhakshetra sutapta vittar janasya mohoyam aham mameti. Then from there, one after another. So the selfishness is growing. It's not just selfishness, okay. I am my wife, my relatives, my family, my society, my country. The selfishness is growing step by step. It is expanding selfishness. Still, in everything, ultimately, it's my own enjoyment. One may extend to others, but the whole reason is my own enjoyment. So the third point is it hardens our heart and breeds selfishness. Fourth, it is very, very important that the desire for sense gratification and material contamination can make us do sinful activities. If we actually breed just sensual desires or lust, material desires, that can force us to act sinfully. Is it true? It is. I'll quote the verse from Bhagavatam, the same canto, same chapter, fifth chapter, and then I'll give some examples. Some of the examples are shocking because I heard in my neighborhood and I was shocked. Okay, I'll read the verse. This is again a standard verse. Nunam pramatta kurite vigarma yad indriya preeti aapanoti na sadhu manne yada atmanoyam asanna vikleshata asa deha. So this is when a person considers sense gratification the aim of life, he certainly becomes mad after materialistic living and engages in all kinds of sinful activity. Nunam pramatta kurute vikarmaha. Pramataha. Nunam means indeed. Pramataha means mad because of desire for sense gratification. And what he does, kurute, he performs vikarmaha, sinful activities. Why? Yet indriya preeti apranoti. Why? Because indriya preeti, for sense gratification. Rishabhadev says, he does not know that due to his past misdeeds, he has already received a body which, although temporary, is the cause of his misery. Because of past activities, we have got this body. The body in itself is a suffering. And on top of that, because of desire for sense gratification, again perform sinful activity. Actually, the living entity should not have taken on a material body, but he has been awarded the material body for sense gratification. Therefore, I think it not befitting an intelligent man to involve himself again in the activities of sense gratification, by which he perpetually gets material bodies one after another, as mentioned in this verse. The example of monkeys. Vanara jati, Vanara varga, the monkey clan, that is given here. I was thinking when I was a kid, when I was growing up, so I heard in my neighborhood one murder happened. Neighborhood means a few kilometers. I used to go for some tuition or something, and then I heard under the house a murder took place. And it was like shocking for me, you know, the neighborhood murder. It was real murder, you know. Then I started, you know, reading newspaper, asking, you know, what is this, you know, gruesome murder. And what happened was one person, he had an illicit affair, and he wanted to marry that lady. And for that sake, he did a cold-blooded murder, killed his own wife. Can you think about it? And I was thinking, you know, oh my God, what is this, you know? This classic, you see please try to understand the strength of lust. It can blind us, it can cover us, it can pollute us, and it can make us perform such a heinous activity. And the whole thing came up, you know, then there was a big police investigation. It was a matter of 1 or 2 weeks. It was the headline for a week or two, and he was captured and the punishment, the whole thing happened. But as a kid, I was shocked. And the whole thing, you know, I understood the whole thing, you know, he wanted to go with another woman, and for that he murdered his own wife. Shocking. And in the neighborhood, everyone knew that lady and that person. So I'm just telling one example, but you know, millions of examples like this, how one does perform sinful activities for sense gratification. It can be small, it can be big. But this is the reality of life. It can force us to do sinful activities because we are blinded, we are covered. And then When the consciousness is polluted, one can do anything. Next point is, the more we perform these kind of activities, sense gratification, the desires are going to increase. What is the example given in Bhagavad Gita? What is the example given in Bhagavad Gita? If you do more sinful activities or sense gratification, the desire is going to increase. Yeah, fuel in the fire. Dushparena analena cha. Fuel in the fire. It's the wrong philosophy, you know. You get exhausted by sense gratification and then take up to spiritual life. It doesn't really work like that. Usually it increases. And that's why there is no control. It becomes like a forest fire. Where the forest fire starts? One time, a forest fire which burned in Australia many thousands of square kilometers started in a backyard fire. Backyard, one lady put some fire in the backyard. That went everywhere, you know, thousands of square kilometers. So this is how it is. So material desires are like forest fire. Just start from small, you know, just like a small desire, but it actually spreads. We have heard about Maya, you know, in like a pin, out like a plow. It's exactly like that. Even in our heart, if we don't check our material desires, if you have a material body, there will be material desires. Don't think that we will not have any material desires. It will come, but check it as soon as possible. Otherwise, it's going to expand. It's going to become out of control. As it is said, you know, there are a few things we should address immediately. What are they? One is fire. Second one is disease. Then third one is debt. So these three, Kachanaka Pandit said, we had to address immediately. For devotees, we had to add the next thing. What is that? Material desires. Last comes, okay, check it immediately. Otherwise, it is going to flourish. It is going to become out of control, and no doubt about it. We have sufficient experience. I have sufficient experience, okay? If I don't check it, it is going to be a problem. So that's why, if you fuel this material desires, lustful desires in general, it is going to increase, it's not going to decrease. Sixth point, ultimately we are going to forget our self-interest. Why are we here? Why are we in the association of the devotees? What we are meant to do, we are going to forget all those kind things. So Bhagavatam says, Gata smridir vindadi tatra tapan asadhyamai dhunyam agaram ajnaha. Gata smriti, forgotten, we forget. Why? Asadhya maidhunyam, because of sensual desire and specifically sex desire. What happens? By engaging in those activities, one forgets the real purpose of life. The purpose, one forgets the self-interest. One can become selfish, but one forgets the self-interest. That's the problem. Swarthagati. So swarthagati is self-interest. But just swartha means selfish. So one can become selfish, forgetting the self-interest. So we had to be very careful. So these are on one level. Next, the seventh point is again very important as practicing devotees. That is, if we engage in materialistic activities, what happens? Our determination in Krishna consciousness slackens. We are trying to, you know, we are trying to chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We want to be Krishna conscious as much as possible. Now, smartavya satatam Vishnu, vismartavya na jadjit sarva vidhi nishedeyoho eteyoho reva kinkara. All the rules and regulations are for two things, which are actually one. One is always remember Krishna and never forget Him. And if we try to do that, and if it on parallelly, we have a parallel track of sense gratification, they go ill together. We know that very well. In Krishna consciousness, morning we charge ourselves by chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We hear Bhagavatam, association with the devotees. Then lunchtime, if you have Brahmana, it is good. We chant Gayatri. And if you have time, chant some rounds, whatever. Night, chant Gayatri. Chant some rounds. So in that way, we are charging ourselves all three times. Dhyayam Stuvam Sasyashastra Santhyam. It's good actually. It's a good program for devotees who want to be Krishna conscious. Dhyayam Stuvam Sasya, when? Yashaha Trisandhyam, all three junctions. Morning, ലഞ്ച് ടൈം, ഈവനിങ്, നൈറ്റ്, ഓൾ ദ ടൈം, ജസ്റ്റ് അറ്റ്ലീസ്റ്റ് എ ചെക്ക് പോയിന്റ്. ഓക്കെ, ഐ വിൽ ഡു സം സാധന മോർണിംഗ്, നൂൺ ആൻഡ് നൈറ്റ്. ഇൻ ദാറ്റ് വേ വി ആർ ദർ സം ചെക്ക് ആൻഡ് ബാലൻസ് ഇൻ അവർ ലൈഫ്. ദെൻ വാട്ട് ഹാപ്പൻസ്? ദെൻ ഇറ്റ് ഈസ് വെരി ഈസിയർ ടു റിമെമ്പർ കൃഷ്ണ, ഈസിയർ ടു ഡെഡിക്കേറ്റ് അവർ ആക്ടിവിറ്റീസ് ടു കൃഷ്ണ. Even if one is working outside in office, still, if we have this three times program, Trisandhya, then it's easier to focus ourselves. I know some devotees, they have their Bhagavatam reading group in offices during lunchtime. It is very good, because at least let us remember ourselves what we are meant to do. In that way, we can be reminded. So we are just trying to do at least three times, we are trying to remind ourselves about our own self-interest. And when we engage in sinful activities, in sense gratification, what happens? Our determination is slackened. Already when the material desires comes, it is so difficult to control, isn't it? We have to really pray, Narasimhadev, please help me. Yes or no? It's not easy. Material desires comes, what part of us tells that it is good to do it? As I explained earlier, the mind, our own mind, when afflicted by lust, is going to convince us, okay, it's good to do it, just go for it a few minutes or whatever, you know, just do it. This is how the mind preaches to us. And then we need intelligence and we need help, we need prayers to help ourselves and think about indulging in those activities. Big or small, what happens? It becomes really difficult to stay in our determination. So our determination is slackened. It is like throwing water on the fire. We are trying to kindle our fire of Krishna consciousness. And if you throw a bucket of water, it is put off. So this is how it is. Next, eighth point, that is, we are in a very good, very fortunate position, because we have the association of the devotees, we have chanting of Hare Krishna, we have books, we have lectures, everything. We are surrounded by, in one sense, San Mukharitam. We are association of devotees all the time. Mukharitam means everywhere. San Mukharitam Bhavatiya Vartam, as the 10th canto, 14th chapter, Brahma's praise, you know. San Mukharitam Bhavatiya Vartam. We have the full opportunity to hear about Krishna all the time. We have full opportunity. At least in the age of technology, we are blessed with San Mukharitam in the form of smartphones and other gadgets. Only thing, we need to have the mind to use it in the right way. So we are San Mukharitam. Mukharitam literally means one is just covered with the devotees or the devotee association. So we have actually. And in that situation, we have all the opportunity to perform devotion service and relish it. It's not very difficult to relish Krishna consciousness. Just pick your beat, just listen what we are chanting. That is enough. We are relishing Krishna consciousness. Just understand our own mind. Just hearing Krishna's name, that is relishing Krishna consciousness. And if you are fighting with your mind to listen, no problem, just fight it. While you are fighting, you may not feel that it is relishing. But you chant at least one round with fighting with the mind. After that, you feel such a relief. You feel so good. It's like winning a battle. So even we can relish Krishna consciousness just by chanting. Just by chanting. That's enough, and that we can do anytime. Or thinking about Krishna. If we cannot chant, we are in a situation where we cannot chant Krishna's name, just thinking about Krishna, just think about the beautiful form of Radha Vallabha. We can relish Krishna consciousness. And you know very well that when a lustful thought or a material desire come to our mind, then Krishna is gone away from our consciousness. It is applicable in the thought level or while chanting. When the material desires are coming in, we cannot relish the moment of Krishna consciousness we are meant to relish. So that is there in our heart. So now we can actually relish Krishna consciousness. We don't need to really wait for end of the life, not for a decade or a couple of decades. Now we can relish Krishna consciousness in our own level, but that is stolen away by material desires and the desire to fulfill them. Ninth point is, one cannot go deeper in bhakti as far as we are holding on to material desires and as far as we are actually really fulfilling them. That's the problem. Fulfilling them, that is the problem. Then we cannot go deeper in bhakti. Because going deeper in bhakti needs some absorption in Krishna. It can be anything. It can be just chanting. Chanting needs some absorption. If you want to really forget about the rest of the world, and if you want to just chant, it takes some absorption. And if we have that kind of chanting, we can hear. Whatever we are chanting, we can hear the holy name. It's not that difficult. The road is not that bumpy. We can ride smooth. So that is when we have some absorption in Krishna and mind and senses are somewhat controlled. So if we don't do that, we cannot go deeper in bhakti. We are dealing with the same desires over and over. Please remember this point, that Maya is not giving newer and newer things. We are dealing with pretty much similar kind of desires. In other words, the Maya in front of us is of same nature. The only thing is, it is coming repeatedly. Think the desires that are coming to our mind and which are disturbing us, is the same thing. It's the same thing. Maybe flavor can be a little different, but it is exactly the same thing. It is coming repeatedly. It's coming again and again. Relentlessly. Like Yamunacharya. Is that Yamunacharya or Madhavendra Puri? We can read from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Leela. You know, Kamadinam Katina Katida Palida Durgudesha. Tesham Jata Na Karuna Na Trapa Na Upashantihi. Kamadinam Katina Katida. I don't know how many material desires I have fulfilled. Kama, material desires. Last, how much I have fulfilled? I don't know. It is true for all of us. I don't know. Katina Katida Palida Durgudesha. Durnidesha. False instruction, bad instruction. Nidesha means instruction. Durnidesha, bad instruction. To trouble us. And how many such instructions I have fulfilled? I don't know. I cannot tell you. That's what Madhavendra Puri is telling. Either Madhavendra Puri or Yamunacharya. You can read in the Madhya Leela. Kamadinam kadina kadina palida nurdesha. Tesham jada na karuna. These desires, they haven't shown any mercy to me. Na trapa na upashanti. Even if you fill millions of material desires, still they will tell, give me more, do it more. It hasn't given any peace. So we are serving a boss who will never get satisfied. And because of that, one cannot go deeper in bhakti, unfortunately. Still we had to say, you know, yeah, somehow or other 16 rounds. You know that, right? Yeah, how is Krishna consciousness? Yeah. Managing 16 rounds. Even a decade can pass, still we'll tell you, I'm managing 16 rounds. We cannot go like that. So, we need to go deeper. And for that, we'll have to control our mind and senses. 10th point is, if we try to fulfill our material desires, then if we are feeding it, then what happens? One can fall down at any point. We are running a risky game, very, very risky, because we are allowing Maya to come inside, we are opening the door for Maya, and then we are, you know, just okay, it's like a goalpost without a goalkeeper. Yeah, come inside, no problem, nothing will happen. It's like that. So, one can fall down at any point in time, the mind can just drag us and take you somewhere else. This is the problem. In different cultures, this can happen in different ways, but this is going to happen. Indians generally, they come to temple Janmashtami. Even if they are not devotees, still they come to Janmashtami to temple, isn't it? We have seen it. Just come, put some donation, they go. If we are Indians, generally, fall down means that is a fall down. Yeah, come, sometimes come, but not serious in bhakti. One is not going to make much progress. Sometimes comes, you know. Chanting, yeah, I chant. Sometimes in the mind, will become like that. And generally, from Western background, what we have seen, generally disappear means just disappear, bloop, just goes away. What it means is, wherever we started from, we fall down to the same status. Indians, a little bit pious, used to come to temple, if not a devotee, they may come to temple, but not serious in Krishna consciousness. One can come to that position. So externally looks good, you know, well-dressed and come, which is good, but still, no advancement. So this is in this way we can very easily fall down. So we discuss about 10 points, the problems with fulfilling those lusty desires. Now what to do? So this is, it's not finished there. There can be unlimited list, and I just presented a few points in this regard. Rishabdev gives a solution, and his solution is very nice. He starts with Hamse Guru Mai Bhaktyanuvrutya. First start from Hamse Guru. Go approach and surrender unto an advanced spiritual master. This is the first step. Don't take it lightly. Everyone needs a spiritual master. And we are blessed with so many advanced spiritual masters in ISKCON. And in Melbourne, we have so many spiritual masters. Visit Melbourne. So many of them. We are very fortunate. So we need to choose one of those spiritual masters. Or they have to accept us as well. So it's a mutual relationship. That's the beginning. When we accept a spiritual master, initially there is always a honeymoon period. Oh, he's my spiritual master. We ride in the glories of the spiritual master. My spiritual master did that, did the other thing. We are actually going up and down, enjoying the glories of the spiritual master. Is that right? It happens. That is the honeymoon period. In one is accepting a spiritual master or getting initiated. But the real test comes when the instructions start flowing, and which is very important. And to fulfill those instructions of the spiritual master. And following, emulating the mood of the spiritual master and serving his instructions. So that takes a lifetime. That takes effort. So this is how we can make progress in bhakti. That is the first step that Rishabdev instructs all his 100 sons. Accept a spiritual master. And we have the opportunity to accept a spiritual master. Not only that, we had to follow the instructions of spiritual authorities in general, which is not easy. It is difficult, but we need to do it. So we need to say, if you have a spiritual master, see what the spiritual master wants us to do. Write down. And on a daily basis, am I fulfilling those desires? Am I making any step forward in that direction? We have to see for ourselves. Then we can see whether we are making progress or not. Because when we have spiritual commitments like that, then what happens? We don't have much time for Maya. Maya will not disturb so much. If you are organizing programs, and if you are under stress, whether people are going to come for the program or not, which is very good, right? Then there is not time, much time or space for Maya. So we need some Krishna anxiety to help us, because we can only have limited amount of anxiety. If you have Krishna anxiety, it is good. So then we don't have time for material anxiety. So we will be anxious of something. So fill it with Krishna. For that, there are plenty of opportunities in Krishna consciousness. So many different kinds of services, so many kinds of preaching opportunities, and our sadhana, improving our sadhana, etc. Very good. I was very inspired. One devotee, Grihastha devotee, was mentioning to me that, okay, he has decided to chant 25 rounds every day. So I was very inspired to hear that. Look, I want to take out some time, even during lunch hours, I want to chant some extra rounds, and I want to make it about 25 rounds every day. To commit for that. Very inspiring. I'm doing other activities. I asked him, do you still have the time for reading? He said, yes, still I have the time for reading. Because if we increase our chanting, if we neglect our reading, that's not really good. So he said, yes, still I have time for reading, but I want to do more sadhana, because we can be reminded of Krishna. I was very inspired to see this Grihastha having a couple of children, telling, look, I want to do more for Krishna. Because so much responsibilities, work, everything. It's not that he's just well off sitting at home, no? So much of responsibilities. So in that way, one can fulfill the desires of the spiritual master. Being more Krishna conscious and following the instructions. Then Rishabdev says, another very important, Visirnaya Dvanda Titikshayacha. Dvanda Titikshayacha. Dvanda, what is Dvanda? The dualities of life. Even material desires. The happiness and distress, because these are all a part of this material world. And even the material desires, we had to titiksha is required. We had to tolerate. Second, he says, tolerate. When these kind of things come, just tolerate it. And then he says, stop sense gratification. By tolerating, one can stop sense gratification. And then he says, chant the glories of the Lord. Adjust your mind. Train your mind to see that happiness means chanting the glories of the Lord. Just accept it. Again and again, accept your mind. Look, happiness means hearing the glories of Krishna. If you feel, sometimes mind tells me, I need some entertainment. It happens, I just want to be entertained. That time, hear something about Krishna. Just turn on a lecture, or chant a verse, or chant a song, or hear a kirtan. In that way, entertainment means hearing about Krishna. It can be a fired up kirtan, it can be a bhajan, it can be a lecture, anything but related to Krishna. Something related to Krishna. In that way, train ourselves, train our mind. As I mentioned earlier in a previous class, when the sense gratification comes in front of us, we should see pain in it. And when we are looking for pleasure, connect to Krishna somehow or other and train our mind to think in this way. Maya means suffering and Krishna means all happiness. And I want to tune into happiness. In that way we can move forward in our bhakti. It's very amazing. If Maya is disturbing us and if we are engaging ourselves in Krishna consciousness somehow or other, whether it will be chanting or reading or anything, if we approach it in a prayerful mood, Krishna reciprocates instantly. It doesn't take a long time. Krishna reciprocates instantly. So let's have this realization more and more. We will have ample of opportunities for this realization. Because we are living in this world, we will be prompted, we will be pushed, inspired with many material desires. And so, let's take shelter of Krishna and let's experience Krishna. And we will be more strong in Krishna consciousness. So here, Prabhupada says, these monkeys who are enjoying sensually, they are jumping from one tree to another. As we explained earlier, the problem with sense gratification and the sensual desires is that it will push us from one body to the next. And we can get a monkey body as well. And as Prabhupada was telling, somebody is going to capture this monkey and going to remove the gland for another monkey. So that is material existence. So let's try to be Krishna conscious. Let's plan our day so that we have sufficient quality time for sadhana and for service. So with this I stop and see if there are any questions or comments. Yes, Madhuri.
Apart from these enemies which are inside us, with families who are not devotees, we have pressure from them to enjoy. Actually, they want us to do whatever is here, but not that. They want us, like, we're fighting, we have our own problems, but they want us to enjoy life. And then we show that we're not interested, and then that causes problems. So if the devotees don't know what money is, or
Yeah, the question is, we have inner enemies, six enemies of the mind, kama, krodha, etc. And apart from that, relatives, they push us to engage in materialistic activities. Definitely they are going to do that, because they may not be devotees, then it's going to happen. Our family is devotee family. So we had to accept devotees as our family. That is the only way we can get shelter. We don't have any other choice. So devotees are our protection. So we had to tolerate such kind of demands in devotee association. And if we do neglect that, then our Krishna consciousness is going to suffer. For sure. They can be our loud ones, the so-called loud ones. They can be the one who raised us all the way through. They may have sacrificed a lot of things for us. They are true. We do respect and accept that. But if we give in to their material propositions, we are not going to do good for ourselves or them. Then we are going to act as misers. So we had to be reminded this of ourselves, and we had to take shelter of devotees and tolerate such kind of demands. We don't have any other choice. I had to do that, you had to do that, everyone has to do that. It's going to happen. Otherwise there is no progress in bhakti.
When we visit them, we don't have the opportunity of taking shelter.
Yes. So, generally, our principle is when we go home, especially with brahmacharis, we don't stay with the family for very long. Not very long. Especially when there are no devotees. Now they are devotees, so it's okay in a different ways. We can help them to, you know, to make them hear or chant or preach can help. Otherwise, we don't stay very long with the family. Especially if the relative is very materialistic and if the situation is not conducive. 1 week, that's it. Or at best, you know, stretch of 2 weeks maximum. I don't stay with the family very long. That's how we survive. If an association is not good, we have to make our point. Yeah, we have visit, okay. What's the minimum number of days where we can manage? No choice. If family is not supportive, go there, stay for some few days, then go somewhere else. Go for dham visit, come back, spend a few days, you know, help ourselves. We don't have much of a choice. But get the rounds done in the morning. That will help at least. Hare Krishna. Any other questions or comments? Yes, ma'am.
It's kind of comment. I'd love to see the practical suggestion that you mentioned about when we are searching for the look for sensuous material enjoyment, we should see pain behind that.
We should see?
Pain.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yes.
And then if we want enjoyment to project or force us to project or remember Krishna as a sort of real enjoyment. That's right. Do you appreciate that practical suggestion that you presented? But at the same time, I was trying to analyze the force or the sequence, how the propensity to enjoyment or material enjoyment happened. In many cases, it's unconscious, it's automatic, and we are just involved in that when we realize it's already there. So, but I was also trying to understand when, in the beginning, when that it's not a habit, the technique that you suggest is quite effective. And what to do when it's already automatic and unconscious?
Good question. So, yes, we can see Maya or material enjoyment as a problem. We can train our mind, okay, if in front of me, okay, I shouldn't do that. But if we get habituated to it, we become almost unconscious. We unconsciously attract, and unconsciously we want to enjoy. So how to deal with that? That's very important. So I'll give the example of chanting. In chanting, what we do, we know we had to listen. And many times, out of habit, we forget that we had to listen. Just chanting is happening. And the lips are moving, the sound is coming, and that's it. Then we hear, okay, there are problems, so we need attentive chanting, etc., etc. We hear, before chanting, or at least in between chanting, we come to the consciousness that, okay, we need to listen. Still, what happened, because of our habits, even though we have heard everything, still unconsciously we follow our thoughts and not the mantra. But the good thing is that at one point you catch yourself. When chanting, that happens, right? At one point, oh, what I was doing, I was not listening, I was just following my thoughts, I was thinking so many things. Okay, let me listen. So when a sense gratification, not talking about the serious ones, but normal in our day-to-day life, whatever happens, we had to learn to catch ourselves, even though we are engaging unconsciously. At one point we had to catch ourselves, oh, I'm doing this, it's not really good. And at that point, take a diversion. And then what happens? Because of the habit energy, we'll again go back. Then again catch. So it is exactly like our chanting process. We had to catch ourselves. And Krishna will help. Pray to Krishna. We understand unconsciously I am doing it. Go pray to Krishna. Please, first step is help me to show where the problem is. And Krishna will show, okay, here is you have to catch. And then because of our habit energy, we really don't want to, we are so attached, we really don't want to get out of it. Then push us somehow or other, one step towards this. Then we may go backwards two steps, still come back. So this is our spiritual practice when we are dealing with our anarthas. So that's why it is called, in the stage of anartha nivritti, this stage is called tug of war. Tug of war. Vishwanathaka Thakur explains. This is the tug of war in us between the material desires and the spiritual desires. Which is good. Tug of war is good. So let's be prepared for the tug of war. So don't give in. Let's fight. You know, when it comes, let's give it a go. Make sense?
Each time we because we are getting.
Yes, that's right. And especially if you don't fulfill that material desires, which is really pounding us, if you don't fulfill it, we actually get a lot of strength. If you just don't do it, we get a lot of strength. And when we do the other side, Krishna's side, then it becomes much easier. Yeah. Thank you.
I have a question from Pari.
From? Oh, Pari. I was thinking, where are the kids? Usually kids ask the question. So we have the online question, which is good.
Is Brahmana Gayatri and ISKCON Gayatri same or
different? Oh, this question is too advanced for Pari. ISKCON Gayatri and what is that? Brahma Gayatri?
No, Brahmana Gayatri.
Brahmana Gayatri, yeah. Brahmana Gayatri is actually Brahma Gayatri. Answer is, they are different. But how they are different? You grow up. First, you be fixed in 16 rounds of chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, following principles, etc. And then you accept a spiritual master, get your first initiation, and get your spiritual name. Wait for some time, practice everything nicely, and you get your Brahman Diksha, second initiation. Then you can get all these mantras from your guru, and you can get clarification from your guru, Hare Krishna. But good question, it's, they are different.
And second part is, if you are a Brahmana, are you second initiated without first initiation? Meaning that, do you have to be initiated or not, if you are a Brahmana?
What do you mean by Brahmana? If you are talking about caste Brahmana is not initiated into Vaishnavism or the parampara of devotees. So first one has to start chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, follow the principle, get first initiation, wait, then get second initiation. Then one becomes a Brahmana Vaishnava. So that is more important. So caste Brahman doesn't make any sense. Okay. Let's stop here. Thank you very much. ग्रंथराज श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्रील प्रभुपाद की जय